got d25, so it's a 9 and 10.
Okay. I'd like to thank Rabbi Bronstein for inviting me again. It's always a integral part of my summer, the shiur here in Great Neck, and I see familiar faces from the past, and we've been doing this for many summers. We should continue, Bez Hashem, to do it for many summers in the future, Bez Hashem. And of course, the Zecher Nishmas, Mishnah Mashnikov, and his esteemed son-in-law who's here, my dear Talmud Michael Atlas. So it's good to have that representation from the family, and it's good to see you all. And okay, so this year's topic is going to be the laws of mezuzah. Feel free at any point to stop me and ask any question you'd like to know about mezuzah that could make things more labor-dick, so I could start off and get us juiced up. But if you want to ask something, so go to the punch and feel free to ask anything that you'd like to discuss in this interesting topic. The Torah tells us, we're going to be reading it in a couple of weeks from now in Parshas Veskanan, Uchsavtum al mezuzos beisecho uvisharecha. So a mezuzah needs a bais, a house. The Gemara says that means a place where one dwells, a place of residence. If there's no one who dwells there, technically speaking, you don't need a mezuzah. Like, for example, the shul. I venture how many mezuzahs there are in this whole shul. Probably a lot. Yet the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens, that you only need a mezuzah if there's, in the old days, the shuls had shamashim. That already is, a lot of shuls don't have that anymore. The old time shamas in the shul. And in my tkufa, we had shamas in the shul, but he went home, he lived at home, like most people do. But in those days, there was a shamas who, what was called the chazan, lived in the shul. He lived in the building. He lived in the, it wasn't such, those shuls weren't such big buildings like we have today. So then the Gemara says that you have to put a mezuzah up if the chazan lives in the shul, on his door of his room. But the rest of the building, especially the sanctuary, so that's not considered a place of living. No one lives here. We come, we daven, we shmooze, whatever we do, but we don't live here. So technically speaking, there's no requirement of a mezuzah and a base knesses. The Shulchan Aruch says that maybe a
You mentioned the chazan lived in the shul.
Yeah.
Is not rabbis living in shuls also?
Okay, whoever.
Yeah,
let it be a chazan, let it be a rabbi. Yeah, right. So whoever lives in the shul, that would make the shul into a place of dwelling. And it's a place of dwelling, so then it needs a mezuzah. But if it's not a place of dwelling, then you don't need to have a mezuzah. A beis medrash, the Shulchan Aruch says, may be different. There's a famous story. The Rush says that the Rami Rutenberg, who was the great Rebbe of the Rush, used to learn in the Beis Medrash the whole day, and he sometimes would doze off, and whenever, and he was always found that he was disturbed by some spooks, some ruach ra. And it disturbed his mid-afternoon nap. And then he put a mezuzah on in the Beis Medrash, and then everything was fine. And then the spooks went away, and he had his afternoon nap, and everything was great. So the Shulchan Aruch says that a Beis Medrash has two opinions. See, basically, shul, Beis Knesset, the Gemara says, no one says you need a mezuzah, unless there's someone who lives there. A Beis Medrash, now let's get it clear. You know, like in big shuls like this, where I grew up in a big shul similar to this. And we always, in fact, the shul I grew up with, the chazan was Chazan Zev Krohn in Brooklyn, before he made it over here. And so there was the big room where people davened, you know, on Shabbos and Yontif. And then, unfortunately, not as many people come to the shul on the weekdays as they do in Shabbos and Yontif. So there's another room, I guess, similar to this room, which was labeled the Beis Medrash. Right? You always had that, the base Knesset, the Beis Medrash. So that has no halachic bearing. Just because you call the room that you daven on Shabbos the Beis Knesset, and the room that you daven on the weekday Beis Medrash, that doesn't have the halachic status of a Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash means similar to one in a yeshiva, where people are sitting there learning the whole day. So then, the Shach writes that since people are living there, learning there the whole day, so that's similar to a dwelling. So therefore, there might be an obligation to have a mezuzah. But if it's just a mincha maariv, half an hour in the morning for shachris, and a mincha maariv, you know, and come in and go home, so that's even a Beis Medrash wouldn't have the status of having a requirement of a mezuzah.
The reason why we say kids
right, exactly. Right, so what this gentleman points out is that the Gemara says in Psachim that why do we, some shuls, this shul I assume makes Kiddush Friday night right, because in the days of the Talmud the guests used to stay in the shul. Now today you have a guest, you bring him home with you, you don't leave him in the shul. He sleeps by you, he eats by you, but those days they had people passing through. And the shul was like the place for the guests to sleep over. Because people, the guests didn't have accommodations in their own home for the guests. So then therefore they make kiddush in the shul for these people who are going to sleep in the shul and eat in the shul, etc. But those people wouldn't obligate in the mezuzah because they're not staying there for long enough. They don't own it. It's not theirs and they're not renting it. They're just passers-by. That's the Gemara says, a pundak, an inn. A pundak, people, you know, come and go. That doesn't require a mezuzah. Rav Moshe Feinstein has an interesting tshuva, where he says that what if a person comes to an inn, and a chves, he's maybe a little nervous that he wants, you know, mezuzah is protection. That's not every mitzvah do we say that the mitzvah itself gives us protection. And mezuzah is one of the mitzvahs that we say that's shmirah. That's what Rashi says in Daf Dal and Imsachim. And the Rambam at the end of his mezuzah says it gives us protection. So say a person is in an inn overnight and he feels nervous. He wants to put up a mezuzah. Obviously they're not going to let him nail it in, but he has some scotch tape, good tape. And he has a mezuzah. So Rav Moshe says, if he wants to, he could do it. It's not considered being mevaze, the gustam, to put a mezuzah in the middle of nowhere. You know, might be a degradation to the mezuzah.
But
a target. Yeah, yeah, right. So, but if this individual wants to have a mezuzah when he's sleeping over in the inn, and he turns. And it's not going to deface the property of the inn, so he could take a mezuzah with him and take some tape and tape it over for the night. And even though there's no obligation whatsoever, because he's not renting and he's not owning, so there's no obligation whatsoever. So Pasha says he doesn't need the mezuzah. He'll get protected, hopefully, without the mezuzah. But it makes him feel good, so he could put up the mezuzah. Right, so we paskin that you don't put a mezuzah up in a sukkah. Right? That's how. There's one opinion in the Gemara that says you do put up a. Two opinions in the Gemara. We paskin no mezuzah in a sukkah. So how could you even have an opinion that says everyone agrees that sukkahs is only 7-8 days, you know? So why is there an opinion that says that that there's a machlokas is whether sukkahs diras keva, sukkahs diras arai? But what is that? Is it a permanent abode or a temporary abode? I mean, what is that? What's that machlokas all about? Everyone agrees that a sukkah is only for 7 or 8 days in Kuslar. So what's the? So some Rav Mordechai Mann in the Sefer says that the idea being that since we're obligated in the mitzvah, so we're obligated to live there for that amount of time, so that makes it like a permanent abode. But we don't paskin that way. We hold that we paskin that you don't need a mezuzah unless you're renting or owning. If you own it, then you have to put the mezuzah up right away. If you're renting, then you have in Chutz La'aretz. Then on day 31, you could put up the mezuzah. You don't. You have a reprieval of 30 days till day 31 to obligate you to. In Eretz Yisrael, you rent. You have to put it up right away. It's only a special dispensation in Chutz La'aretz. So based on this idea. Say a person has an office, so he also doesn't live in his office. Maybe some people live in their offices more than they live in their homes, but the normal way of life is to leave at a certain time and go home. So that's not a makom dira. So many poskim say that there's no obligation to put a mezuzah up in your office. Some people want to, because. So if you want to, there's what to rely on to put it as we said before. But if a person's looking for a reason not to, so that's the halacha, that he doesn't have to. Because he's not, it's not a makom dira, it's not a place where he's living. So since it's not a place where he's living, so therefore he doesn't have to put up a mezuzah. So, but the minhag became that in all Jewish establishments they put up mezuzahs, like catering halls and old clinics and things like that. And none of these things are obligatory. So you can't make a bracha on any of these. You can't make a bracha because there's no obligation. So if you want to put it up, there's maybe what to say to put it up. But to make a bracha, that would be a question of a bracha levatola, to make a bracha on a mezuzah if it's not in a dwelling area. And furthermore, the dwelling area has to be a certain size. It has to be, like Rav Moshe Feinstein says, around 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. But if it's not, Rav Chaim Noah has a foot less, like 6 feet and 3 inches by 6 feet and 3 inches in order to obligate one in a mezuzah. But if it's a smaller area, that's not considered a place of living, and therefore you wouldn't be obligated to put up a mezuzah. If you want, you can put it up without a bracha, but not okay. Another point, the Ram, yeah.
Should you wrap myself around a 6'3"
room? It was every room in the house. Every room in the house is considered its own bais. You know, the Ramah says there was a minhag that people had that they would only put up a mezuzah on the front door. That was a minhag that used to exist. And the Ramah quotes this minhag and he's critical of the minhag. Because we assume that every room in the house is its own bais. And therefore, every room requires its own mezuzah. However, we only make a bracha if the room has a door. If the room does not have a door, no bracha. Because the Rambam, Maimonides, was of the opinion that whenever there's no door, you don't put up a mezuzah at all. At all. That's the opinion of the Rambam. An archway, like,
oh,
yeah,
oh,
I'm sure in your house there are many rooms that don't have doors, right?
My house?
Yeah.
I guess. He said yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there, so those rooms, you know, if they're big enough, you'll put up a mezuzah, but you won't put it up with a bracha. Because since the Rambam's opinion is that it doesn't need a mezuzah at all, so even though we don't paskin like the Rambam, but in deference to the Rambam, we won't make a bracha. Because according to the Rambam, it'll be a bracha levatala. So therefore, in deference to the Rambam, we're not going to make a bracha on any room that doesn't have a door. Yeah, so you just make one bracha on the... In other words, if you want to put up many mezuzahs in your house at one time, so you make one bracha, you don't talk in between, and that covers, just like when you do Bedikas Chametz, like Rabbi Nachum Cohen pointed out from the Prima Gadim, you do it in every room, but you don't make a separate bracha in every room. You make one bracha, and that covers the whole, all the things. So you have to start with the room that has a door, and the room that's big enough. So that's not so simple. Because a lot of people in the front door, it opens into what? A very small room, right? So there's a question whether you can make a bracha on the front door. Because some people, front door opens up into a big room, but I don't know, you your own homes, a lot of them just opens up into a little, little, and then after that is another room. So even though the minig is to put up a brach mezuzah on the front door, or else the people wouldn't know where to collect the tzedakah from. But the minig is to put up, you shouldn't make a bracha on the front door. Because unless it opens up into a big room. So then you can make 6 feet and 3 inches by 16, 3 inches or more. But a lot of the rooms that are, a lot of the front doors open up to the little foyers that are smaller than that. So even though we still will put up the, right? Maybe your house. No? Yeah. So, yes.
So what do I do?
So what? What do you do with what?
Don't make a bracha over that.
No, so you can make a bracha on some other room. Yeah, you make a bracha on another room.
Okay.
And, yeah. And that's the, so that's the chiyuv of, they asked the Rambam, how do you know that? How did you know that you need a door? Where does it say you need a door? So you know what the Rambam responded? Because it says, "Chaftam al muzos beisecha uvisharecha." Sharecha is what? Is a gate. So that's what a door is. A door is a gate. So if you don't have the gate, you don't have the obligation. So that's how the Rambam. That's how the Rambam got to his conclusion that in the Rambam's house, there was no door, there was no mezuzah. Now, a mezuzah...
According
to the other Rishonim, what does it mean, v'sharecha? So the Gemara in Yuma says the following. What if you have a city that has a wall around it? Okay? And it has openings in the wall, and has so the Shar Ha'ir requires a mezuzah, and that's how the Gemara learns out v'sharecha, that the Shar Ha'ir also requires a mezuzah. So where does that come up? So you tell me what? Yerushalayim. You have the different gates of Yerushalayim. The only thing that's pointed out in the poskim of Harfenis is that you need to have the majority
Jews in the city. So if you don't have the majority of Jews in the city, then they won't be obligated. So that's the question. The old city of Yerushalayim doesn't necessarily have majority of Jews in it. So therefore, it wouldn't be. So even though there is mezuzahs, I believe, on the gates of Yerushalayim, but technically speaking, it might not be obligated. There was a discussion that Rabbi Harfin has had with some poskim about the community in Brooklyn called Seagate. Right, so a walled, enclosed. Right. So, and there could be there was Rov Yisrael, and therefore might be obligated in a mezuzah. The only thing is that there's another halacha that if you're afraid that it's going to be vandalized, that is an exemption from a mezuzah. So sometimes in the big cities, they were afraid that the Gentiles would come and steal them and vandalize them. And so someone had an idea that maybe first put up a case without the mezuzah and see if that gets stolen. And if that is the test, then you can put in the parchment. So that's the. But that's Visharecha, according to the other Rishonim, they based on the. On the Gemara. The Gemara says the word Beisecha, the Gemara has a drasha, Derech Biyoscha, that when you put a mezuzah, you always put the mezuzah going into the room, not going out of the room. That's why, if say you have a room, a door, it's only an exit door. Only for exit, and it exits into the street. So then there's a discussion. Rabbi Badi points out that there wouldn't be chayiv in mezuzah because it's not an entrance to someplace. Exit is not derech bioscha, beisecha derech bioscha. And the assumption is, the Gemara says, that when people walk into a room, they walk with their right foot first. So then the mezuzah is on the right side going into the room. Okay? They walk in the right foot first. Even though us lefties maybe don't necessarily do that. But here, everyone's the same. In other words, it's not like tefillin that the lefties do different than the righties. By mezuzah, everyone does with the right side. So you have to put the mezuzah on the right side going into the room. So, say for example, this door, the assumption is that people go this way into the room. In other words, because it's tricky, because you have multiple traffic. So, which way is going in? Is it going in from there here or here there? So, it's the... So, what?
One-way sign.
Yeah, so we... Right, one-way signs, right. So you could say, but we don't put up two mezuzahs. In other words, you could say, maybe we're not sure, so one mezuzah is going this way, one mezuzah is going that. So that we don't do, because we have to decide which is the flow of traffic, which way does it go.
Let's assume that everybody's coming in this way, and then you put up a sign,
in other words, if there would be a rule that no one could come in, and the only way you have to use this door is going, so we could view this door.
Do you have the moon angel?
As this, what's the street number? The hallway, right? So then, if the flow of traffic would be this way, then we put the mezuzah this way.
The question was, you have to move the mezuzah from one side to the other.
Yeah, right. You would have to change. If the flow of traffic changed, then you have to. You'd have to change the direction of the mezuzahs. And these little doors over there, which way coming in, right? Now, there is a Gemara that says, the way we interpret the Gemara, that you know how to tell which way is in, which way is out? The way the door opens. But if the door
opens into that room, that means that's going in. So here we violate that halacha. Because here the door opens and yet we have the mezuzah going in. So we paskil like the opinion of the Mordechai that says that the flow of traffic is more important than which way the door opens. If it's even the flow of traffic, then we'll decide based on which way the door opens. But if it's clear which way the flow of traffic is, so
here, apparently, whoever put it up decided it was clear that the flow of traffic is this way, so the mezuzah is going this way. There's a minhag in Chabad circles. If you ever go into a Chabad Mosad, so they always follow which way the door opens. So if this would be a Chabad institution, the mezuzah would be going on the right side, going to the hallway, because the door opens into the hallway. They do that in every case except for the outside door. The outside door that's leading into the house, that will always go on the right side going into the house. But the other doors inside of the house will always go with the way the door opens. Right, so if the traffic is the same, then you have to decide which room do you use more often. And then that's considered the more chashuv room. And if you can't decide that, so then you follow which way the door opens. Yeah, so the difference between a room and a hallway is that even though we said that a mezuzah is only chayev if the room is a certain size, either 7 feet or 3 inches, or 6 feet and 3 inches by 6 feet and 3 inches. But by a hallway, we say the Chamud Daniel's opinion is that since it's not to be, no way, you don't stay in the hallway. The hallway is just a mavar. It's just to get you through from one place to the other. So we assume that even though it's narrow, so it doesn't have the 6 feet width, we'll still put up a mezuzah. And that's how some explain, and Sefer Ogro Molech explains, that's why in many of the front doors, even if it's a small little antechamber that it opens up to, we'll still put a mezuzah on the front door, because that's just what we call a beishar. It's just a transit. It's just... Yeah, again, the same idea. Which way the flow of traffic is, that will determine... There's a big discussion about what if you have a porch coming out of your house, a deck or something like that. So which way does it go? Does it go on the right side going onto the deck, or does it go on the right side into the house? So if the deck is only a question, if the deck has walls around them which are like 40 inches tall, and then we could view the deck as an extension of the house. And Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion was that if the people usually go from the house onto the deck, then the mezuzah will be on the right side going onto the deck. Whereas the Chazon Ish's opinion was that if the deck is always considered subordinate to the house, and you always put the mezuzah on the right side going into the house and not going onto the deck. So like Rav Moshe Feinstein lived on the Lower East Side, and he had the buildings that have those little porches that from the apartment buildings, so he put the mezuzah on the right side going onto the porch, not going into the house. The mezuzah has to be on the bottom of the top third of the doorway. If it's lower than that, then you might not fulfill the mitzvah. If it's too close to the top, you also might not.
So it has to be the bottom of the top third, which some, except there is one exception to the rule, and that is if you have a very tall doorway. So if you're going to put it at the bottom of the top third, so when you walk, you're not going to see it. It's too high. So then the halacha is you put it shoulder height, because the point of mezuzah is that it should be readily noticeable when you're walking through the door that the mezuzah is there. So if you put it too low or too high, you're not going to see it. So even though normally we say it's the bottom of the top third, but if the bottom of the top third is going to be way high because the door is such a high doorway, so then we say that you should put the mezuzah on by shoulder height. If you put a shoulder height, so then you'll always see it as you're coming in. A child's bedroom is, in other words, we don't say, well, the little kid, like I have a 3-year-old son, so it's still pretty high. So we don't take that into account. In other words, a child's bedroom is the same as an adult's bedroom. You can't put it, if I'm Greenwood right, so you can't put it lower down for the child. You want to pick him up so he can pick this from scissors, so be it. But you can't. You don't put it any lower. There are many poskim that say that a garage needs a mezuzah, because there's a question whether something that's used just for storage, whether that requires a mezuzah or not. So in Shulchan Aruch we paskin that something that needs for storage does require a mezuzah. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Abadi both pointed out that's only if the storage area is near your abode, near where you live. Say you rent storage space. You know, you always see on the highway, you know, these billboards about storage, sometimes interesting advertisements about storage space. So you rent storage space Rav Abadi, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky point out, since it's not part of your living quarters, it's not even near your living quarters, then it wouldn't require a mezuzah, even though we paskin storage does, but these rabbanim hold that it's only a storage place that is adjacent to your house. Right, so you have a large walk-in closet. So then you need to put a mezuzah in. No, but if it's a walk-in closet, and if it's a large walk-in closet, that also requires a mezuzah. So if it's at least, say, 6 feet and 3 inches by 6 feet and 3 inches, it has to be a walk-in closet, it has to be a large walk-in closet. Some of Machmir are even smaller, but the strict halacha is that if it's a walk-in closet, it has to be a walk-in closet. If not walk, you just put your arms in the closet to get your stuff. That doesn't count. It has to be a walk-in closet, and it has to be large enough, and that would require a mezuzah. As we said, every door gets one mezuzah. You can't. There was a tshuva, you know, Rabbi Rakefet from Eretz Yisrael told me that when he was growing up in the Bronx. So I'm sure you've all seen this scenario. Ever see a doorway that has a mezuzah, a small mezuzah, that was probably painted over like 10, 15 times. You know, one of these small mezuzahs, you know, that was just painted over again and again and again. So who knows what's in there? You know, is it kosher? Is it not kosher? And it's very difficult to unearth after all those layers of paint to find out, you know, is it kosher? Is it not kosher? So he asked Rav Moshe the following question. Can he just get a nice new mezuzah and put it on the door and forget that mezuzah? Whatever it is, let it be. And then I'll put up a nice new mezuzah on the door. So Rav Moshe says, you can't do that because that's Baal Tosif. In other words, if you put two mezuzahs on the same side of the door, that's a Torah violation of Baal Tosif.
And therefore, Rav Moshe said, you gotta unearth that mezuzah and check it, take it out. But you can't keep it there if you want to put up another mezuzah. That would be a violation of adding on. Just like if you add on to your tefillin, that would be a violation of the Torah prohibition of Baal Tosef. As we said before, the mezuzah is a protection of the house. As we said, it's one of the few mitzvahs that we're told that this mitzvah has a protective element to it. Everything we do in every mitzvah we do, but this more so than other mitzvahs, is considered a protective element. That's why the halacha is that when you leave your house, so you move, so the halacha is that you're supposed to leave the mezuzahs there, because you won't want to take away the protection from the next person. You sell it to a Jew, right? If you're selling it to a non-Jew, you could take the mezuzahs. If you're selling it to a Jew, there is an obligation to leave the mezuzahs. But the poskim say that you're permitted to charge for the mezuzahs. But as Rav Abadi pointed out, you don't have to lose yourself either. Whereas you can, so you have to offer the person to buy the mezuzahs, and if he wants, then he has the right to buy the mezuzahs. If he says no, then you could take it, as Rav Abadi pointed out, you could take it with you. But that's an interesting thing. You would think, it's my mezuzahs, it's my house, I'm leaving, I should be able to take it. So Chazal say in the Gemara in Bava Metzia that you're not allowed to take a mezuzah, and the Gemara speaks very harshly about people that take away mezuzahs. Yeah. Every room is its own house. Right. Every room is its own house, its own bais. Every room has it. Even though in modern Hebrew we don't call a room a bais, we call it a cheder, whatever. But in terms of what the Torah's obligation is that every room gets its own mezuzah. Right. That was the Ramah says. There used to be a minhag that they only put mezuzah on the front door. And he doesn't like, he criticizes that minhag. So you don't say, I'm protected from the front door, so I don't have to put up on the other doors of the house. No, you have to put up on every door that has that requirement. Yeah, so it was a family heirloom. Right, so you have a family heirloom. You don't want to leave it to the other guy. You got this special mezuzah from who knows where and when. So there's another halacha is that you could take down that family heirloom and replace it with a simple mezuzah. And take the family heirloom with you. So you say, in other words, the guy is insisting that he wants the mezuzahs. So poskim say that if as long as you leave him kasher mezuzahs, you have a special affinity to this particular mezuzah because it's, as you said, like a family heirloom. So then you have a right to take it with you, but you have to leave him. You have to leave him a mezuzah in that same area. Okay, so protection against what is a good question. Is it all types of protection? Protection against people that you don't want to be in your house. Protection against some type of mazikin that we don't know exactly what that means. But shadim, mazikin, these metaphysical things that might lurk around. So those are the protection of. Anything, all types of any protection we need. That's why we should make sure that our mezuzahs are kosher. That's why you have to check mezuzahs. The main reason today to check mezuzahs
is to make sure that when you initially bought the mezuzah, that you got it from a reliable person. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch says that twice in 7 years you have to check your mezuzahs, which is not an easy thing. Twice in 7 years, that means like three and a half years goes by like a sneeze, and that's a whole big asek to take down the mezuzahs and check. But that's what the Gemara says. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a leniency that Rav Shechter pointed out, that today, the way Rav Shechter said over is today that we have climate control. Meaning, in the old days, they didn't have heat and this, so in the winter it was really cold, so the mezuzah might freeze and the osios might chip off, and in the summer it might be very hot, and therefore that could cause... But today, that the mezuzah is not touching the wall directly, and as Rav Shechter pointed out from Rav Shlomo Zalman, we have climate control, so the chiyuv of checking is not as important. As Rav Shechter pointed out, maybe the outside mezuzah might be different, but the inside mezuzahs, there could be more, as Rav Shechter said from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it could be more lenient. So that could be an important leniency. But sometimes, as I said before, people went to non-reliable sources and they never got to the... You know, it's one thing you're afraid that the mezuzah cracked or something like that. It's one thing that the mezuzah was never good from the get-go. So you got to make sure that, you know, when you buy mezuzahs, that you're going to a reliable place, that you have good mezuzahs, and you have to make sure you know how to put it upright. Because you can have a kosher mezuzah, but you put it on the wrong side of the door, then... There's a fellow in Queens, a mezuzah doctor. He goes to people's houses to check to make sure that they put up the mezuzahs on the right places and the right doors and the right direction. Because if it's supposed to be one way and you put it the other way, you can have a beautiful mezuzah and it could be you won't fulfill the mitzvah. Yeah.
You live on a boat, or you're on a submarine.
Yeah, so the Shulchan Aruch says that Ba'i Shebesfina, that's a Dira Sarai, that does need a... Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch says that a Dira Sarai, if it's a movable thing that's temporary, wouldn't necessarily need a mezuzah. There's a big question in modern day poskim whether an elevator requires a mezuzah. Does an elevator require a mezuzah? I remember when I went to see Rav Yashiv, I remember he had his own private elevator. He lived on the second floor and he had an elevator there, and he had a mezuzah on the elevator. But the Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes he doesn't think an elevator needs a mezuzah, because in other words, first of all, where would the mezuzah be? Would it be on the movable thing? So that, they say, of course not. That's like the boat, you know, that moves. So maybe on every floor, not on the movable part, but on the stationary part going into the floor. But so some say, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that no, because it's not called a doorway when half the time there's nothing there. It's an empty space, right? Half the time there's no doorway there. There's a doorway here. That the hall is always there. So it's always a doorway. This room is there. That room is not going anywhere. But here the doorway is pending by an elevator, because the thing is moving up and down. So the second floor has its thing for a couple of minutes, and then it goes to the next floor, the next floor. So it's not it's also not considered permanent, because the door is not a permanent existence. Because it only serves as a doorway when the box comes by.
Does it seem like the Jews use mezuzahs in the desert
for things? Because they're moving and there's no real door, it's just an opening. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so the midbar, yeah, okay.
That was tough.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're in the midst, so you have to have them all. If you're in the midst of that cycle,
well, you can assume that there was a chazaka that was probably probably good, but if there was a situation where you feel that maybe something happened, so you should check it before you leave to make sure that.
Why should check it when
you're fine? Yeah, but you also, in other words, you have a responsibility to protect the guy coming in. That's your responsibility. If they want their own, that's fine. If they say, take yours, I have my own, fine. That's fine. There's a right to do that. Yeah?
Maybe I missed this. What's the source of this protection?
Look in Rashi in the Gemara Pesachim on Dav Dalet, on the Aleph, on the bottom. Look in the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Mezuzah, and you'll see... the sources that right, and again the idea the Rambam writes is that when you see the mezuzah you think of the Ribono Shel Olam, and that that itself is the protection of, you know, of thinking of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's why we say the mezuzah should always be something that you see. Can't be too high, can't be too low. It has to be, when you go through you'll be able to see the mezuzah. The halacha is you can even put in, I never saw this in America, but in Eretz Yisrael you have the old stone, Yerushalayim stones, and sometimes they put the mezuzah in the stone. Not on, we put the mezuzah on top of the you know, the door. We don't put it in there, but there we put it in the stone itself. But the halacha is that it has to be noticeable. You can't then plaster over it. You can't put a mezuzah in the stone and then plaster over the stone. You're not going to be able to see the mezuzah. So the mezuzah is okay. So we discussed the idea that the mezuzah is a makom for dira. It's part of your dwelling. It's a protection. It's to remind us that the Ribono Shel Olam is there. Like the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, you know, Unkula said that any other king, he sits in his throne inside. He has his people protecting from outside. But our God, He stays outside, protects us. And that's what the mezuzah is. That's our God protecting us. He's the one who's staying outside to protect us. So that we believe in the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we believe that the amount of Amuna that we have, that you get more Shmira. The more that you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection, the more protection you get. It's commensurate with your Amuna. Is the Amunah. So that heightens our Amunah when we see the mezuzahs and we think of the Ribono Shel Olam. So we should all be zocha to be mekayim the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah that what? That zocha to arichas yomim. The Gemara says that's why women are also chayiv in mezuzah, because they also need arichas yomim. L'man yirbu yimeichem. K'safta mom zos v'sechu v'sharecha. L'man yirbu yimeichem. So we should all be zocha for the arichas yomim that mezuzah provides, and the shefa bracha that comes when our knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hashgacha pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, continuously watches over us. Amen.